Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues, Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
You might miss it if you don't pay close enough attention, or perhaps if you just don't sit down and read the book of Acts from beginning to end. That's part of the problem with the way we look at the Bible sometimes today. We don't start at the beginning and go all the way to the end, so we don't get the big picture, and we miss sometimes not just the forest for the trees, we miss some of the trees too. One of the big trees in the book of Acts is the Gentile question. It is the question in many ways that obsesses the early church. What do we do with the Gentiles? In particular, the question of, are these Gentiles, now Gentiles, believers, are they required to become Jews in order to really be saved? That was the question. And of course, the church did not leave that question unanswered. It's part of the question that runs through our Sunday school lesson as Pastor Tom Baker joins us on this Monday afternoon, April the 27th. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Paul and Timothy. Timothy himself, a very interesting case because he's both Jew and Gentile with a Greek father in Acts chapter 15 and 16. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
What is the problem that occasions a full-blown meeting of both the apostles and all of the pastors of the Jerusalem church in Acts chapter 15, before we meet Paul and Timothy?
Yes. In fact, it leads to the meeting of Paul and Timothy because they make a decision, and as Paul is going around the various congregations, he then runs into Timothy after this decision is made. But what happened is that Paul was in Antioch, and then some men came down from Judea, and here's what they were teaching, and they were talking to the Gentiles. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And that is the same thought that's found in verse 5. Some believers who belong to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. So we almost have, we do have Christian Pharisees. I can name two of them that you're well aware of course, was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Not only were they Pharisees, but they were part of the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish upper council. Now, I don't believe that they had this particular point of view, but when you've gone your whole life thanking God you're not like other people because you've kept the ceremonial laws, that's Luke 18, then when you become a Christian, boy, it really is hard to say, oh, we no longer have to be circumcised and other such things. And that was the problem. If a Jew has to be circumcised to become a Christian, should not also a Gentile?
So, how do they address this? I mean, they come together, obviously, as a council. But what is at stake for them in answering this question? How could they get it terribly wrong and really ultimately undermine the entire gospel?
Well, in fact, this is really critical because even the disciples make and the apostles make a big deal that what you're really doing is destroying the cross of Christ. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11:13, Paul refers to these as false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. Theology is the art of making distinction. And the Lutheran Church, I believe, has done a fantastic job in making distinctions. And the distinction we're looking at is the distinction between justification and sanctification. Here's the question. Are good works necessary or unnecessary? The Christian Pharisees believed that even to become saved, you had to follow the ceremonial laws. They did not make a distinction between the ceremonial and the moral laws of the Old Testament books. But we believe, teach, and confess that in regard to justification, that is, becoming a child of God, good works are unnecessary because we passively receive salvation as an infant does in infant baptism. But in regard to sanctification, they are necessary because with spontaneity, they occur often in our active state. But as Jesus says in the meaning, for example, of one of the readings for this coming Sunday, I'm the vine, you're the branches, without me you can do nothing. And that's in regard to justification. But with me you can bear good fruit, that's sanctification. So they really got mixed up, these folks who were insisting on circumcision, between the clear distinction of justification, which is definitely something we receive passively, and sanctification, where we take active operation.
So there, the circumcision is kind of the presenting problem, but of course the question that they take up as both the apostles and the pastors is, do Gentiles need to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, that is the ceremonial law, in order to be saved? How do they answer the question finally then?
I'll tell you, the Growing in Christ material does a wonderful job in pointing out what Peter said. He revealed that Gentiles were saved in his preaching without circumcision. In fact, they received the Holy Spirit and were baptized for the cleansing of their hearts. That's Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas testify to the signs of faith that God had done through the Gentiles, through Paul and Barnabas in their preaching among the Gentiles, and again, without circumcision, without obedience to the law. And finally, James brought things to a conclusion. After citing Peter's testimony and the Holy Spirit's prophecy in Holy Scripture, he used the Old Testament to support the incorporation of the Gentiles into the church without circumcision. For example, who doesn't know about Jonah? Why didn't he want to go to Nineveh? It was a Gentile town. And it's so clear that the Gentiles were also to be part of the promised people. The Jews were only selected as those through whom the message would come. And therefore, salvation was not limited to the Jews, but also included the Gentiles.
So they simply come to the conclusion that those who have approached the church at the beginning of this account are wrong, that circumcision is not necessary for salvation.
Yes, it would be like if at your congregation some people came in and said, you know, it is not proper to use individual glasses in communion. You must use a common cup just as Jesus did. Well, we would have a discussion about that, and we would show that it doesn't matter whether it's individual or common. The body of the blood of Christ comes through both, and perhaps you would do what a lot of churches do. You give people the option as to whether or not they would want the individual or the common, but at that same time, you would show that it really doesn't matter which one you have, because it's the words of Christ that deliver what is happening. And that's what they did here. They made it very clear that in regard to justification, boy, there is no need for circumcision, etc. But in regard to the life of sanctification, because of the weakness of new Christians, then they had a number of items that they said that they should not be doing, such as having animals eaten with blood in them, or using the animals from the sacrifice to idols. And they had a list of them, but they were not necessary in order to be saved. They were doing the same kind of thing like when I have had Jewish guests over to my house, we simply don't serve pork. Not because we think it's wrong to serve pork, but we don't want to unnecessarily offend these people. And that's the context of this wonderful compromise given to the church by the Holy Spirit.
When we come back, it seems kind of odd that having made this decision on the part of the apostles that Gentile Christians do not need to be circumcised or observe the ceremonial law in order to be saved, when Paul finally meets Timothy, who is, well, his mother's Jewish and his father's Greek, and he's a believer, what does Paul do? He circumcises him. We'll find out why on the other side of the break. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with him on this Monday afternoon, the 27th of April.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Why did Frederick III risk his realm of Saxony to protect Martin Luther and the developing reforms of the church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Frederick the Wise, Seen and Unseen Lives of Martin Luther's Protector. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Frederick the Wise by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Frederick the Wise.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We have a weekly conversation with him teaching a Sunday school lesson based upon Concordia Publishing House's great Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Now, you see what's at stake for the earliest church as they take up the Gentile question? Is it Christ alone? Is it Christ's work alone? Does Christ alone justify and save? Does Christ's obedience count and not our obedience? With all those questions in mind, they get the right answer to the question, that Gentile question in the early church. And that's the kind of Christ-centered cross-focusedness that you will see in Growing in Christ every single Sunday. Find out more about the Sunday school curriculum. Give Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Tom, why is it that when Paul finally meets this Timothy, who is a tough case because his mother is Jewish and a Christian, by the way, she raised him in the Christian faith, or at least from childhood here, and his father is a Greek, that I guess we would presume they're not a believer. Why is it that after the apostles have said you don't need to circumcise these people, he circumcises Timothy?
Scripture interprets Scripture. And I'm first going to talk about Timothy, and then I'm going to talk about Titus, who he did not circumcise, who also was a Greek. He circumcised Timothy, according to chapter 16, verse 3, because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, so what? Well, when we send missionaries, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to different cultures, we often have them come to the seminary for a 2 or 3 week visitation to learn about the culture. For example, when we sit down to dinner, the women in the household all sit with us, not only the adults, but also the children. But in some cultures, the women prepare the meal, only the men sit at the table, and then later on, the women have their meal after. Now, can you imagine a missionary saying, hey, I'm not going to sit with you guys if you're not going to allow the women to come? This would create great offense. These people may not even be Christian and understand this. So you allow some of the cultural tendencies to take place so you don't unnecessarily offend them. Like I say, you don't feed a pork to a Jew. You don't smoke in somebody's house who doesn't like it. So these particular people were not insisting that Timothy could only be saved if he was circumcised. They knew his father was an unbelieving Greek, and therefore they were more comfortable in listening to him if they knew he had been circumcised like they were. It wasn't a necessity. But in the in Titus's case, and here you would go to Galatians chapter 2, when Paul is traveling with Titus, and it says, but even Titus, who is with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek, because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so they might bring us into slavery to them. Now remember, these are the false prophets who are saying, you better be circumcised. To them, we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. This is how important, therefore, even a practice, if it's insisted that it must be done to be saved, then you don't do it. So in Timothy's case, it helped him become more acquainted with the people if they knew he was circumcised. In Titus's case, he didn't circumcise him because there was an insistence that he would not be saved. Which leads me to my final point on this. What does it mean to be set free from the law? There are some churches who say, well, that means you don't have to follow the moral law or anything. No, 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 no. According to the scripture, to be set free from the law means the following, that Christians are the only people who are free to do good works. Everybody else has to. Because if you don't do your good works, God won't like you, he won't love you, maybe he won't save you. We are free from work righteousness in order that we might be free to do work sanctification by the power of the Holy Spirit. Works of sanctification never save, because they can't even be done until you are totally saved. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom is going to lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Lydia from Acts chapter 16. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Well, thank you.
This summer, we've got a great, we really call it the premier conference for the laity coming up June the 19th and the 20th right here in Collinsville, Illinois. It's called the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Dr. Paul Meyer will be there, Dr. David Menton, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Pastor Will Whedon, Jonathan Fisk, Chris Rose, bro, and we're going to do a live show to kick it all off on Friday the 19th there of June. You can find out more about this conference, and you can register. Our attendance is limited to 400 this year, so you need to register early. We're way more than halfway to that point. IssuesETC.org, IssuesETC.org. If you need help registering, if you have any kind of question, you can contact Craig. Give him a call, 618 623-8385, 618-223-8385. Send him an email, craig@issuesetc.org. The cost of the conference registration is $100. That includes three meals. And this year we are providing child care, $35 per child, also included there, those three meals. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. You can click there, you can register online and get all the information you need, hotel information and all of that, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 19th and the 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Tomorrow, Pastor Ted Giese will join us to review Sunday night's AD, The Bible Continues, and we'll continue our series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, responding to evangelical proof texts. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.